Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Free stuff. Get your free stuff here. This is Wretched Radio. Last day to take advantage of, wow, what a Valentine's Day gift. Drive-by marriage. Not just the lectures, the study guide. Free. Why? Because we love to see marriages not just survive, but to thrive. Hey, that's a pretty good tagline right there. Anybody using that you can think of?
Yeah.
Brad Bigney. It's Thrive Podcast, which, by the way, it's blowing up and it is awesome. And he's such a likable communicator. If you're thinking about getting married, you are married. You should be listening to the Thrive Podcast and get yourself a free copy of Drive-By Marriage. It's 30-some 15-minute lectures. It has a study guide. Do it as a husband and wife. I promise you, you're going to go to places you didn't even know existed. And sir, I know this kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies, but you will be participating. You won't be able to avoid it in the conversations that your wife has always wanted to have with you that are a little bit more introspective, a little deeper, perhaps a little bit more vulnerable. Drive-By Marriage, it's free. Just go to Fortis Institute. No, Fortis Plus. Where do we go?
FortisPlus.org.
FortisPlus.org/marriage, but spell it correctly. Not like you're from New Zealand, where you just kind of snowmobile, which you never do in New Zealand. Snowmobile over those R's. Rev your R's. Marriage. FortisPlus.org/marriage. And then as long as you're at the internet machine, send us stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Laurel. Todd, what if there are no doctrinally sound churches in your area?
That's rough.
How picky should I be?
Let's define doctrinally sound. Because if you've got a church that has small O orthodoxy box checked, you can go to that church. Right, you even if it's got some stuff where you're like, oh, I really don't dig this, because you have to be in a local church. You just have to. And seriously, you have to be a member of a local church where you serve, and you will grow, and it is your safe place. So find the church that at least is small O orthodox, and just pick the best one you can, and become a member and start serving there. Having said that, there isn't one. It's possible where you live that there isn't even one that makes it up to orthodoxy level. What can you do? I think you've got two options. One, find some people in your community, as small as it might be, that would be like-minded, and start assembling together. Start a home church and to see what the Lord does with that. Second option is, and I know this sounds radical, move. Go find one. Check it out. Meet with the elders. Let them know your intentions. And then go about the business of moving there. It is really that important. I remember initially dealing with this issue, because this is not an uncommon issue for a lot of people, and saying, move. It's like, yeah, you're kind of crazy, but move. No, you're kind of crazy to not be a member of a church. That's what's kind of crazy. You're in danger, Will Robinson. You must be in a local church. Find the best one you can. Join it. If not, find the best one you can and move to it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Jackson. Todd, my name is Jackson, and I'm a 21-year-old college student. Lately, I've been feeling joyless in my walk with Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I open the Word or spend time in prayer, I have a hard time finding joy in it. Mm-hmm. What are some practical ways to increase my joy?
Keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't let that deter you. Don't let the motive be good feelings. Let the motive be, I love my Lord and I want to be obedient. So I'm going to do the things that He promises will grow me, because you can be going through a season. And please note, it is not uncommon for Christians to go through seasons. Now, you don't want to go into those seasons. You work to make sure that you don't enter a season of dryness, But if you do happen to be experiencing a drought, just know you're not weird. Read the Puritans. They talk about this. In fact, I'm racing through my brain. Is there a Puritan book that dealt with this? I'm almost certain that there is. Is it not Sibs? That was the bruised reed. There's the Puritans. I think they dedicated at least a book to the subject. What do? You keep doing what you're doing. But now, having said that, make sure that you're doing what Acts chapter 2 describes as the spiritual food that God gives to you for your nourishment and good health. You're listening to preaching. So you're going to church. That's the context. You're in church. You're praying, taking the Lord's table, fellowshipping with one another. You're sitting under the authority of the word. Just keep doing all of those things. But then let me encourage you to do some things that might help. Number one, take a look at your diet. What are you consuming? What type of preaching? If the preaching doesn't ever stir, if it doesn't ever cause you to go, wow, the Lord is awesome. Wow, he's just amazing. Then you might want to change your diet. Now, I'm not saying leave your church, but I'm saying if you're downloading and podcasting stuff and they don't cause your heart ever to soar, start looking for guys that will. Jimmy, are there any podcasts you can think of that might accomplish that? FortisPlus.org. You can try that. Go listen to guys like Milton Vincent. We were driving, Mrs. Friel and I were driving back to, we were going to Chattanooga. It was involved somewhere, the state of Tennessee. And this is where our pretty regular pattern is to listen to a sermon while we're driving. Because why wouldn't you? And so we're getting the phone ready and she's like, okay, who do you want to listen to? And I said, hey, up to you, sweetheart. And she said, Milton Vincent, he's my favorite, which I overlooked. I accepted the praise for Milton, just fine, but he is praiseworthy. He's awesome as a shepherd and as an expositor. And he was talking about Thomas. Okay. This is another element that might be missing. If you're sitting under preaching that never convicts, that's bad for you. Because when you're convicted, you know what it does? It causes you, it pushes you, it forces you to run to the feet of Jesus. It makes you, and that's where you want to be. That's where your joy is found. So it could be that you're having a drought because you're never getting any sort of conviction from the pulpit. So Milton, who is a shepherd to the core, this is how he convicted. And I'm telling you, it was like, acme frying pan to the face. He said, just very casually, it seemed, but I'm sure he prepared it, go ahead and put an adjective in front of Thomas's name, if you would like to, and if you're willing to be identified forever or for one of your failures. No. Oh, and so a little bit of conviction, but then he talked about how, and you might even want to go listen to this sermon. It could edify you in this way that Jesus, he was aware that Thomas was doubting, which is different than disbelief. By the way, he was aware of it. He didn't shun him for that. Instead, he made himself available to show him, here I am. And by the way, the text does not indicate that Thomas actually had to feel the sides or the hands. It was enough to see Jesus and to hear Jesus talk because Jesus was willing to help Thomas, but he didn't want to foster his doubt. He wanted to murder it. That was the word he used. And later he said he wanted to slaughter it. That's what Jesus wants to do with your doubt. And when we're done with the sermon, after I'd finished licking my wounds, it was like, yes, what a savior. What a savior. That he puts up with doubting. We have no reason to doubt. Zero reason to doubt. There's a young man who's kind of the hot thing right now. He's an atheist or agnostic, whatever he calls himself on the YouTube machine. Alex somebody, I think. And it was one atheist, 25 Christians. And so he sits in the middle of the table and I think he gives them like 2 minutes, something like that. And then the 25 people have to rush to get to the open chair. And then they try to engage him. And they were getting into things like the genocide of the Old Testament, what have you. And I thought, dude, You're going to laugh at this. The expert atheist of our time, apparently, or at least the popular atheist of our time right now, let's just say, is this young man. I would go right back to the very basics of the most obvious thing on the planet, and that is God exists. There's nothing more obvious. You cannot deny, and I would not get off it with that young man and let him take me into rabbit trails where he impugns the integrity of God by looking at genocides, which he cannot possibly understand. No, in fairness, I might actually say, what's the problem with genocide, my atheist friend? What's your issue? What is your ground for accusing God of not doing things rightly? Might do that, but otherwise it would simply be God exists. It is obvious. I could not persuade you that this cup I'm holding happened by itself, and it couldn't be more basic. And yet the intricacy on the molecular level of the human body is staggering. And you deny that God designed and made that? You're without excuse. But I digress. Get yourself under preaching that convicts, encourages, and shines the spotlight on King Jesus. And then might I suggest, just as a practical help, go driving in your car with your favorite worship CD or whatever you use to make noise in your car and sing your fool head off to the Lord Jesus Christ. See if that doesn't help your heart and your affections just a little bit. This is Wretched Radio.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at FortisPlus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit FortisPlus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to FortisPlus.org right now. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Whether you're tackling marriage challenges, parenting questions, or personal growth, Fortis Institute is ready with biblically grounded wisdom. We're not just offering commentary, we're providing a comprehensive toolkit for living boldly in an increasingly complex world. Through our daily podcasts and video content and live events, we're equipping believers to stand firm without wavering. And if you want to be part of something bigger, join the Fortis community today. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. It's Fortis Institute, where we're standing firm and standing together.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done.
Jesus is called the physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yo, Jimmy.
Yes.
Am I supposed to be... Look, you're listening to the most professional Christian radio program on this station at this time. It's the Seeking Hospitality Volunteer for TV Recording event. Am I supposed to be talking about that? You don't even know anything about that.
I don't think
you're looking at me like Mount Rushmore. All right, here's the deets. That's right. I said deets, and no, I'm not wearing skinny jeans. We're looking for a warm, organized, 98.6, I would think. Isn't that like what we're looking for? A warm, organized, and servant-hearted individual to help with hospitality at our weekend TV recording event. Okay, I think we've got Jason Lyle. All of the fellows come in, the Fortis fellows. So Jason Lyle, I think he's next up. He's going to be coming into the studio and he's going to deliver 10 lectures. The ultimate proof. It's going to be awesome. And we'll have a studio audience. And we want to treat our guests well. But we could use some extra hands. So if you happen to be in Atlanta and you're warm, you just take some Tylenol and then send us an email letting us know that you might be willing to help us with all of these, actually. It would just be a way to serve in this context. And you get to watch the filming and you can eat some of the treats, which I think we need to up our treats, Jimmy, when it comes to these recording things. A lot of gummy products, a lot of these bars that aren't very healthy health bars. I'm just saying. We could use a little upgrade. And you could help with that. So what do you need to do? Send an email to fellows, as in fellows, at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis at fellowsinstitute.org. You don't have to do all of them. I think we're doing like 4 or 6 of these per year. They are so fun. We just did this with Adam Tyson. Dr. Adam Tyson was in. And we didn't have a studio audience. Instead, he actually sat at a round table with 3 young men. And he spent 10 lectures with them, how to be a godly man. It was called Walk Like a Man, which is one of the most ironic songs ever because it's sung with a falsetto. It doesn't quite match the thing with the deal there, but it was awesome. If you are willing to help us here at Fortis Institute by serving in the hospitality role, we'd be super grateful. Fellows at fortisinstitute.org. And then you can send other stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This question is interesting. It's from Natalie. Todd, a friend of mine goes to a church where one of the elders is very involved in a ministry with homeless people. He has a very big heart for them. He does weekly feedings and other ministries. The church he attends is having problems with a few newer attendees who are homeless. They arrive very drunk.
Got it.
And make noise during the service.
Yeah.
The congregation has been very patient and tried to help these people, but it doesn't seem like they want the help.
Yeah.
What should the church do?
Yeah, I think this is, it requires a powwow. That's a Greek word that means get together and work through it. This is that two-way street thing. Was that today? Yesterday? Who am I? Why am I here? We talked about this. If there's a squawking kid in church, well, the parents shouldn't let the kid squawk. But when the kid does squawk, we go, kid squawk. And it's this relational, because we have to overlook things and we have to work to be considerate of others. And so I think if you go in without an axe to grind, hey, pastor, can we talk about this? We love it that you do it. It shows us your shepherd heart. We love that these people come here. We want them to come here and flourish. Here's what we're seeing. Can we walk through this together? Don't insist on what the result of the conversation is. Lovingly, respectfully, sit down with the man. Sit down with other members of the congregation. Don't do this. Don't start becoming factious. Don't start talking about the guy with did you see that homeless guy? When is this pastor going to stop? I'm really glad that he does it, but don't do that. Don't do that. Get your heart right, if it isn't, and then meet with them and work through it. That, it'll be good for everybody. It really will, because there is a principle that I do believe needs to guide a church service. Now, you can have shades of it, and different cultures are going to look at it a little bit differently, But things need to be done decently and in order. And I'm not sure, honestly, I would let a drunk person into the church. I just, sorry. If you're here to hear the word of God, you're checking us out, swell, welcome. I hope you fall down and get saved. But if you're drunk coming in, sorry, you got to go get sobered up. Then you can come in. And furthermore, if they do have the ability to disrupt because manners or whatever is going on, then you need to talk to them. And the pastor needs to talk to him. Hey, friend, we want you here so badly. Here's the decorum for the church. This is why God says that he wants church done decently and in order. You have a tendency to blurt things out. Could I have to ask you to stop doing that? Now, if they don't come because of that, well, that's a bummer. But I do believe that the church needs to be protected so that things are done in a reverential way, decently and in order. And if I just could expand this for a moment, whatever your issue is in your church, I think that I would probably respond the same way. If it's bugging you, get your heart right, talk to the elders, talk to the person, and work through it. Because I'm telling you, every time we do that, we come out on the other side stronger, loving each other more. And you got a deeper thing going on. When everything's just like, I bop in, I bop out. And oh, I don't like the music anymore. I'm out of here. Oh, you're just missing out on so much sweetness. You put up with stuff. God grows you in patience, long suffering, and love, and being charitable toward others. And then you can help them grow because they're maybe not doing it in a way that is good as the way that you happen to know. It's like, and then when you're done with that, you just get closer and closer and closer. It's like friends that don't abandon each other when the going gets tough. You stick through it with a friend. And what happens? That friendship is stronger on the other side. Your spouse. Now, we're keeping abuse issues aside here. You're having trouble with your spouse. Work through it. I know it's hard. I know it is. But the Lord wants you to work through it because you will grow because of it. Don't throw in the towel. And this is not marriage advice for every single situation. In general, work through these issues because what happened? You know this. Okay, Jimmy, have you ever had an argument with Mrs. Hicks? I know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But then you work through it.
Mm-hmm.
No, and you genuinely work through it. You don't just, whatever, sweep it under the rug, which is never a good practice. There's some stuff you can, but if there isn't repentance and forgiveness, you're going to be in big trouble pretty soon. But you actually worked through it. And what was it like with Mrs. Hicks when everything was kind of settled and sorted biblically and well?
I don't know the words. It's like you feel, the way you feel is like, you know what I mean? It just,
everything. How's about closer?
Yeah, it just feels good.
It just feels, there you go. That's I'll what, take that. I'll accept that answer. It just feels good.
Right.
And you have warm feelings. Let's be honest. Some fights have resulted in very romantic evenings for couples. What happened there? You worked it out and you wouldn't have experienced those joys if you hadn't engaged. Don't be a peace faker. Be a peacemaker. And get Ken Sandy's book at fortisinstitute.org. Send stuff to idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, some in our church leading public prayer write out their prayers, often elaborately, and then read them out loud. What's your opinion on that?
Now, did you edit that in any way to make it sound like that's like not a good thing?
No, that's...
It's just asking.
That's the question. In its
honestly, I look... We don't have a Bible verse that says prayers need to be written out. I suggest most of us need to write out our prayers. Most of the time, those prayers will be better because some thought was put into them. If you happen to be an individual who doesn't need to do that because you're just an excellent prayer and you can remember all of the things that were just discussed that need some focus, that need to be brought before the throne of God, then go ahead and do it without notes. But I think as a rule, especially in church, right? Okay. Would you like a confession? You're going to get one anyway. One Sunday, I didn't write out the prayer at the end of the sermon. P.U., it was terrible. I'm just telling you, it was like, but when I take the time to think it through, to bring Bible verses into the prayer, to quote God's word back to him. Those are inevitably better prayers. So I'm a fan. I don't think I'd make a law where there is no law. As a rule, they're going to be better, but they don't have to be. But I'll tell you, I have heard some awful church prayers that weren't written out. I'm telling this was my favorite one, and I wish I were exaggerating. The worship dude finished, you know, doing the deal up there. And Jimmy, did I share Jason? Jason had a prof who went to preach at the church.
Uh-huh.
And when the worship leader got off the stage, he said to the guest preacher, "I got them all worshiped up for you."
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So this guy finishes doing worshiping up the congregation. Let's pray. God, Amen. I wish I were joking. As a rule, write them out. They're better. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.